What's up, all you questionable listeners? Just wanted to give a quick shout out to all of our sponsors. Shout out to Brian Lawrence in the Beacon Building, Carol Robidoux with Manchester Inklink, and Brady Sullivan Properties for helping us get this podcast off the ground. Shout out to everyone else who's also been so instrumental in this journey and the start of this new podcast. Just wanted to shout out also Tommy and Eddie, who have been crushing it while I've been away. This is Luke, and I have to say, I'm happy to be back in New Hampshire editing the podcast and just being with the boys. So without further ado, here's an episode with Tommy and I talking about what it's like coming back to New Hampshire. Enjoy.
All right, but we're back now.
Are we online?
We're online. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back again. First episode with the king himself.
That's you, Tommy.
No, that's not me. Luke is back. I feel like we have a million things to talk about.
Feels good to be back. It feels really good. Been gone for about 3 months now. It's fucking great. I can't say I feel better.
When did you get in?
Dude, so I got in Wednesday morning at 5:30 a.m. It was from St. Louis, Missouri. 18 hours. Drove straight through.
Really?
Yeah. So I took over. I did some shifts during the day. My sister drove a little bit. And at like 10 o'clock, I was like, all right, I'm taking over.
Did she meet you out there?
Yeah, she flew out to Portland. And we drove back together. Just, you know, a little brother-sister time. You know the feeling.
That's awesome, yeah. Yeah, no, I was it one of those things where you're like, I can't wait to get back?
Oh, yeah, dude. At that point, I was done. Dead broke. Ready to come home. Oh, man.
But let's talk, like, so you were Park City, Utah?
No, I was in Oregon. I was in near Mount Hood, Oregon. So,
okay.
People who don't know, I was gone this summer, basically teaching snowboarding, being a snowboard counselor.
That's how I told everyone on the air. I said you were away teaching kids how to ski and
basically
snowboard.
Basically living the life of a dirtbag, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning you wake up and you're at one of the best skate parks in the world, and it's just amazing. You just throw your board down, fucking ride all day, snowboard all day.
So did you snowboard mostly every day?
Yeah, I snowboarded probably about 20 days total because they give you 4 passes a week, mm-hmm. and you get to ride 4 days a week. So, you know, I was there for 8 weeks and I only snowboarded for 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah.
So around 20 days total.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was the experience like when you first get there? Was
oh, my
like,
God.
Like, tell me. So you did this long road trip.
Yeah.
And you stopped at places on the way. I remember mm-hmm. I called you one day. You were like at like some tent site or something. Like
yeah.
chilling in a hammock or something,
yes, I remember
right?
That. I remember that. The drive out was sick because, you know.
You've been out west before.
Yeah. That was the third time I had driven across. So I had done it once before there and back. So technically 4 times now. But the drive out was sick, like especially from a kid who still lives with his parents, doesn't have a whole lot of like independence right now. It was fucking so sick to just be on the road. Whenever you want to stop, you could stop. Whenever you want to go, you can go. Saw some sweet places on the way out. It was like, you know, skateboarded at every place I stopped. Like, oh, all right, I'll stop at a skate park. Just chill out, you know.
Yeah.
Met a bunch of random people on the way. I think the highlight was like one night I'm out in the middle of nowhere, buttfuck North Dakota. And I said to myself, I was like, dude, I cannot sit in my car one more night like alone. I have to go out. So downloaded the old Tinder there. No luck. But I matched.
I struck out swinging.
I struck exactly, but turned into something good because one of the girls I matched with, of course, nothing came of it.
Yeah.
But she posted a bunch of pictures at this bar with like a bunch of young kids, and I recognized the bar because I drove in past. And I was like, oh fuck it, like I'm just gonna go to this bar.
Yeah.
I'll get a beer, and that I'll like if I get a beer, go out and get a beer on my own, it'll be a win. So I get out to this bar and absolutely fucking no one is there. I'm talking. There's a couple of hillbillies and it's North Dakota, so it's farming town.
Yeah.
So I go upstairs. I drink my beer on the roof, and there's like some farmer boys out there, like just talking shit about cows. I don't even remember.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started a conversation with these kids, and they're like, "Oh, dude, we gotta fucking show you around, bud." So before I know it, I'm like deep in North Dakota, drinking beers with these guys, like, just like chilling. Like, they're showing me the bars and like the nightlife. And it was great. It was great. Who knew in North Dakota you could party?
That's sick.
Yeah.
So then you get into Oregon, you said?
Yes. Yeah.
What were the nerves? Were you a little bit nervous?
Oh, just yeah. For sure. I remember rolling up, like the first time I rolled up to camp, essentially where I'd be staying for the next 3 months, was like hearts beating. I don't know what to expect. I knew there'd be some skaters there, but like, who knows?
Was there like a little regret? Like, I don't know if I should have done this.
Oh yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. At first it was like, oh man, I wish I was just home. Like, everyone's going to get that. But I knew that I had to push through that.
I hate that. It happened to me one time. I was at my mom took me to like a skateboard contest. Yeah. And I went in there. And all of a sudden, I came back out. I was like, I want to go home. Yeah. It was in like Taunton, Mass, like mm-hmm. far away. I was I want to go home. And she's like, she coerced me into doing it. But.
And then by the end, I'm sure you were stoked.
I was hyped. Yeah. I was hyped. A good experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had to obviously get all your stuff situated, like with the camp itself and yep. like, you know, I'm here.
Yeah. So the first week we were there, there was no kids on campus. It was just us workers, and they had all the guys in one cabin and all the girls in another cabin. So I was in just a room way smaller than this, like not even half, with 18 other dudes.
Like your age?
Like bunk beds. Yeah. All my age. It was like split into two groups. There was like only 18-year-olds. And then 22-year-olds, and then one 28-year-old. So it was like, I think because what happens is people graduate high school and they're like, oh, I want to go teach.
Yeah, they take a
people
gap,
graduate
yeah,
college.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
I want to go teach. So it was pretty cool. And it was like the dorm room living. You know, everyone's in a bunk bed. Everyone's fucking got their shit out. Everyone smells terrible.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is it.
And you're a social person. Did you start to make friends?
Oh, yeah.
Right away?
Pretty. That whole week was just like everyone was getting loose, partying, and then... imagine a bunch of dirtbag skateboarders in one room.
Yeah.
It's going to get wild.
And did you just go skate every day?
Every day. So like the way it worked was like classes in the morning, cause they were training us on how to do shit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then at night after like 4 o'clock, they're like, all right, you're free to go. So we would just skate, go off campus. There's like a beach right by that everyone would go to all the time.
Uh huh.
And yeah.
That's so dope.
Yeah. Dude, it was sick.
Did you feel like you got better at skateboarding?
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, cause you know, you're right. You know how it is. Like I'm sure at Woodward you got way better really quick.
Even just doing it every day. You just all of a sudden
you like pick it up.
Yeah.
And then there's like all these people around who are way better than you.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it was.
And they're just, and you're like, fuck, well I got to do the tray flip up the gap because he did it.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're like ripping around. You're like, wow, I think I got way better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not until those times when you're just, that's all you can do that all of a sudden you get extremely better at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So then what was it like when the kids come in? Is it?
Oh my God. That first week I remember like we were so naive and so like, you know, didn't know what to expect.
Had any of the other kids done it before?
So there was two kids. There was two kids that had stayed, like it was their second year.
Yeah.
But that was it. The rest of us were new. So none of us had any idea what to expect. And I remember that first night we were just like defeated because like these kids come in and their first day, they're high amped. And you're just like doing a million things. Like literally you would work 24/7. You were on the clock 24/7.
Yeah. And did you have any homesick kids?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I remember one week we had this kid who just was crying the whole week. He wanted to go home. Man, but finally by the end, you know, that kid's like hyped. He's like, I'm coming back next year.
And did you have to feel like you had to play like a father figure role?
Oh my God,
like
so many times.
Or like a mother figure, like coddle the kid, like, Gary, it's okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of back pats and it's gonna be okay, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have, it's like a bunch of hormonal teenagers in one area. So like you'll have the bullying. You have the kids who like think they're too cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know how it is.
That's exactly how Woodward was. And was there like cliques? Like some kids came from the same area?
Yeah. There was one. I remember one week there was a cabin of 8 kids and 7 of them were friends. So this one kid was just like ousted.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sucks.
And then of course, if kids know each other, they get more comfortable off the bat.
Yeah.
And then they just fight and they do shit. Like there was a fist fight. Like it's just kid shit. But it was like the whole time you're like, this is it. This is sick.
Yeah. It's a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then snowboarding wise, like were these kids like, are they like born snowboarders?
Oh my God. So week 2, We had what was called the, I don't know, it was like the performance camp. So these kids paid extra and they trained. Like they wake up early, eat breakfast first, go train. They like work out. There's a gym there, stretch, do all this cardio. Then they get up to the mountain before anyone else. They ride and like they're like trained, like
actually. They're like top of the line.
And these kids are fucking ridiculous. Like they come back to camp and show me these clips of them doing dub 10, like two flip 1080.
Yeah.
And then like just crazy tricks that you and would just not expect.
How old are they?
10, 11,
Jeez,
13 at the highest. Like wow. I remember one of the 13 years olds was like, oh man, I'm getting a little old. Like I haven't done my first triple yet. And I'm like, holy fuck. So those kids were great. Cause like we thought going into that week that these kids were going to come in with like big dick ego. Like, cause they're the, you know, they're the best of the best there, but they were like, all they focused on was skiing, snowboarding, like just training all day.
And overall good kids.
Overall good kids. Yeah.
Where was the majority of them from? Cali?
All over. We had a kid from London. We had kids from, most of them came from Portland, like, which is an hour away.
Yes. Okay.
So like a lot of the kids just came from Portland.
Uh huh.
And it's crazy to see the dynamic switch between the snowboarding and skiing kids and then skateboarding kids. Because, you know, like skateboarders, it's way more accessible.
Did some kids come just for skateboarding?
Oh, yeah. There's a skate camp at the end, like the last 4 weeks. It switches over to skate camp. So the skate kids were more humble. Like they either save their own money to be there or like they want a trip or whatever. They're all really good kids. But the snowboard ski kids were like the rich kids.
Yeah.
Like literally I had a kid whose family, I'm not going to go too much into it, but his family basically owns Australia.
Really?
They're worth $2.3 billion.
Holy
like,
cow.
Like, literally just so many rich.
And kids. Was he good?
He was good. I mean, they sent him to school there year round. So he'd be there all summer, all winter. Like, literally,
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Fucked.
What an experience, I know. Huh?
It was sweet.
And
was
then, sweet. Like, would you have relaxing time? Like, were you able to kind of get back sometimes? Like,
oh, man. So the way it worked was, like, we would drop the... You know, you wake up your kids, you bring them to breakfast.
And is it a weekly camp?
Yes. So it switches every week. Okay. Some kids stayed for longer.
Yeah.
But the way it would work is you wake your kids up, bring them to breakfast, get them ready to go on hill. And then at, you know, 8:30 or whatever, I send my kids to go on hill.
And how far away is the hill?
Hill is like 20 minutes away from where we're stationed.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So they get on the bus, they go. We do like cleaning and shit, and then we're free. So that means from like... 9:30 to 4 o'clock, we're technically off. So that's our time to go snowboard, skateboard, whatever. So it's not like you're off because you're still going hard.
Yeah, because you want to make the most out of your
day. Oh, yeah. And then you get back from the mountain, beat, and then the kids come back. And then you're on all night, basically, until the next morning.
And what can the kids do when they're back? Like what?
Yeah, so it works out like there's always like two activities at night. So, you know, 4:30 meeting where like you come in and the kids come in and they do stuff like dodgeball or capture the flat, like whatever. Like just try to get their mind off snowboarding if they don't want to.
Yeah.
And then there's like dinner time and like then downtime, like come back to the cabin, just chill, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you do it all again the next day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So in your free time, what would you do the most? Like would you ever just have a chill day?
Yeah, some like there'd be days that I would stay home from the mountain because it just you get so beat, especially when I'm doing it every day.
Yeah.
So I'd stay home from the mountain, like either sit in the cabin or like go skate a little bit. But really, there was like probably no time that you were alone.
Yeah.
There was always like if you're in the bathroom, some kid's banging on the door. If you're in your room, some kid's banging on the door or they're like, let's go skate or no downtime.
And do you have like a cabin helper or are you the only one running your cabin?
Yeah. So I had two roommates. And we all slept together in one tiny ass room, and like on the bunk beds and shit. But they were really good. Thank God I got two good roommates because it was like really chill. They were chill, kept it clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these, the kids, like that, you obviously made a lot of friends when you were there. Are these friends that you, like lifetime friends now?
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a lot of good people there. And you kind of look at it like I was making no money out there. Let's be honest. Like to throw out numbers, I was making $100 a week.
Okay.
So terrible. But I've made a lot of connections in the like kind of the world I want to pursue.
Absolutely.
So you kind of look at it that way as like almost like a networking thing. Because literally any pro that is someone is there that summer at some point.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What's the biggest, like, what was the best day you had there?
Mm.
And what was the worst day you had there?
Oh, my God. Okay. Let me think of the worst day. The worst day was so there's a big indoor skate park at the top.
What's this, the worst day?
This is the worst day.
Okay.
I'll go into that first. And so one of our friends had just come in to visit, and we're like, dude, let's go skate. So we skate, unlock the code when the kids are sleeping,
yeah,
allegedly. And we skate in there till 2 in the morning. Literally, you could just be in there skating.
And are you allowed to be doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was skating till 2 in the morning, and then I remembered that I had the next day an airport run at 3:30 a.m. So I had to drive the kids to the airport at 3 in the morning. So I literally went back to my cabin, shut my eyes for a second, got up, went to this thing, and I became, I think it was because I was so run down.
Yeah.
Deathly sick. Like,
oh, really?
Fever, bedridden,
oh.
Couldn't breathe. So I think it was mostly just that sickness and knowing that you're missing out on all the riding outside.
Yeah.
So for 3 days, I was in my bed. And that was the lowest point of camp for sure.
Oh.
That sucked. Because 3 days feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
When everyone's ripping every day. And
are they Luke, come out.
Yeah, yeah. Or 3 days out, I finally come back out of my bed and they're like, where have you been, dude? I haven't even seen you. I feel like I haven't talked to you in years. I'm like, I know, it's fucked. So that was definitely the worst. And it wasn't even the kids that brought me down. It was just the sickness.
Was the indoor skate sesh, was that worth it?
It was though? Worth it. It was so worth it. I'll show you pictures later.
Yeah, definitely.
It was because, it's like skating in the barracks or something. You're alone.
Yeah.
In a full skate park, indoors.
Uh-huh.
Worth it. So, to add insult to injury, when I got back from the airport that next day, kids were already back in the cabin, right? I get back from the airport. It's my day off, so I have a day to chill. You get 2 days off.
Yeah.
Total? Total. No, every week.
Oh, okay.
But even when your day's off, they still ask you to do shit.
Yeah,
it's you don't have. Anyway,
yeah.
Long story. I get back to the cabin, and I have to shit so bad, really bad. So I walk up to the bathroom. Someone's in there. Door's closed. Light's on. I'm like, fuck, all right.
And you're feeling sick already?
I'm feeling a little sick. Yeah, I'm definitely feeling it. So I'm just miserable. And then I look around, and I'm sitting on the couch waiting for the bathroom, and I hear the kids snickering. I'm like, what the fuck? You're like, okay, something's up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go knock on the bathroom door. No one answers. I go, I'm coming in. I open the door, and the kids had taken their mattresses and put them in the shower, and all the furniture was in the fucking bathroom, and the shower was on. And they're just flooding the bathroom. The toilet's backed up because they put a bunch of toilet paper in there. And I go, what the fuck? I lost it because I uh-huh. shit. So I call the kids in and I have them sweating. I immediately, our only real repercussion is taking their phones.
Yeah.
So I took all their phones and I'm like, you guys gotta fucking clean this up.
Uh-huh.
So, oh my God, the kids just are wild for sure. So that was definitely the low point. But the high point was there's a couple really good times where we woke up early one morning.
Yeah.
Went snowboarding, booked it to the coast, went surfing.
And what coast is this?
This is it's the Oregon coast, so it's right there. But it depended where you were going. There's Pacific City, Oceans, it's Hampton,
Wallace. Okay, Sands, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same thing. So we got to do all three in one day, which was sick.
Yeah.
And that was probably the highlight for sure.
And surfing?
Yeah. So we went snowboarding early, booked it to the coast, which is a 2 hour drive, surfed for a few hours, and then at sunset hit a skate park.
And was this on your free days and stuff?
Yeah, that was on a free day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, super sick.
Yeah. So how many kids go to the camp in total?
Man, hundreds. Hundreds. I think during snow week, there was at least 150 kids there at any given time.
Yeah.
Skateboard week is a lot smaller, but it's getting bigger. So, yeah. At least over 1,000 kids.
Uh-huh.
Over, maybe even a couple.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And is it in the middle of nowhere or is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just in the middle of the woods.
Really?
You guys will have to Google it. It's High Cascade and Wendell's Snowboard Skateboard Park, whatever. The whole campus is a skate park.
So after doing this, would you recommend if someone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that it's really a good way for someone, especially teenagers or younger kids who don't really know where they're going or what they want to do,
mm-hmm.
just to get out, be self-sufficient for at least a summer, learn a ton. Like, you learn a ton out there.
Yeah.
Life skills.
Life skills, yeah.
Not monetary.
No, but experience.
Yeah, experience, exactly. So I would highly recommend it for someone who is maybe interested in skateboarding or snowboarding.
What a different life, how it's all.
It doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real.
It's the same for anyone listening. Woodward is like this big skateboard mm-hmm. and all like, what's the word? Extreme sports, whatever it is. When I went there, it was like I had kids from Toronto mm-hmm. in there. All kids that you could tell had money. Like very wealthy kids. And they had their cliques and all that. Mm-hmm. And it's it was cool to see. And you meet people from all over the place.
Do you still keep in contact with anyone from camp?
I don't, but I have them on Instagram.
Yeah.
And like I met up probably like 2 years after I went, maybe a year and a half after I went to Woodward, I met up with this kid who's from Connecticut who has family in New Hampshire. We met up at the Bedford skate park. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sick.
And just hung out for a little
yeah.
bit. But it was cool. And it was, I still have, yeah, I went two times. And the first time I went, I had the most fun because a lot of the kids were from different areas.
Right.
Second time, mostly all of our cabin was Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit difficult.
Did those kids know each other? And
all knew each
okay,
other.
Yeah.
So they had their own cliques. But like literally I was skating in New York City when I was maybe, I'd say middle school, mm-hmm. Maybe 11 years old. I'm at the skate park in Tribeca, Pier 25 it's called.
Okay, yep.
I'm skating there. There's a kid there who is nasty. He's doing all sorts of tricks, kind of a dick, but yeah. he's like, you could tell it's his skate park. Who do I see when I go to Woodward? He's there at the same time as me from New York City. I'd seen him once.
Yeah.
See him. Then like on his Instagram, he always posted videos with this other kid and he had a YouTube channel. He was there. I talked to him the same time.
Mm-hmm.
People from YouTube that were there. Was there pros that went there?
Oh yeah, a lot of pros.
Did you meet them?
Yeah, you're describing is so accurate. It's like such a small community, much smaller than you would think.
Yeah,
like pretty much anyone. Like I was recognizing people from back here, you know, or like people from wherever were recognizing me and vice versa.
Really,
it's small. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any skills you learned out there that you? Are you going to work for McIntyre this winter?
I think I have one more. Finishing up school, yeah, one more year in me.
Uh-huh. Is there any skills that you learned out there that you could use?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think mostly it was the riding progression that was, like, the most improved upon. But, of course, like, riding the best park, like, riding one of the best parks all summer and, like, every day, like, kind of being there and seeing it and how they fix it and how they change it. I think it's going to help me out for when we build new stuff in the future.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough about me, dude. How has your summer been, Tommy?
It's been good.
Yeah.
It's been good. I'm busy. I was just, last week I was in Booth Bay, Maine.
Wow.
Booth Bay Harbor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The family rented a place up there. We went up. It's like an hour and a half north of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny little town. But cool, like everything's walking distance, cool stuff, just kind of a nice hangout chill place. Like the house they got, you look over into the harbor, like on the back deck you can look out at all the boats and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's like an island house that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week before that we went to Pittsburgh, New Hampshire.
Hell yeah.
Went riding there. Mm-hmm. That's when I took that video.
Perfect video. I was telling Tommy earlier about some of the promo videos he's been putting out. They're just fucking fantastic.
Yeah. So the podcast has been good. We're hearing a lot of positive things.
Yeah.
A couple people, I'll tell you after, have DM'd me that they're really like it. And it's a little bit, it's been stressful with you gone. There was one time, I was telling it earlier on the episode. I think I might have told you already, but we're interviewing someone. And all of a sudden, like, Eddie was always like, okay, if you need, like, if you don't have a question, like, just, like, point to me, right? So I pass it to Eddie when we're interviewing someone. This guy just looks at me and just passes it back to me. So
Eddie passes it back to you?
I'm pissed. Like, I'm a little bit pissed in the episode. But I was like, okay, so then I had to think of something on the spot. Because sometimes when you don't, like, our dynamic is good.
Right.
When it's three of us. But when it's down to two and Eddie's a little bit quieter, it becomes a little bit difficult sometimes.
Yeah.
But no, it's been good. And we have people, like I said, in the lineup that will be good.
Yeah.
And as soon, like, I didn't want to dick with video or anything because I don't even have a camera for that. But I figured, you know, it'd be good to implement video soon.
Yeah.
And start doing video, which will be a little bit more difficult, but.
We got it. We got it. I think it's fun to kind of iron out the quirks with you.
Yeah.
And like just kind of learn along the way. And I think maybe people like that shit.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. It's professionally questionable.
Yeah. We're 10 episodes in right now.
10.
10 episodes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, I think you left right when,
right when you guys started posting, I think I was gone.
Yeah. I think maybe even first week.
Yeah.
I released the intro and then the Luke Duffley one.
Yeah. Great episode, by the way.
Yeah. And then after that, it's just, that's crazy. I didn't even think about that.
Jared too, right?
Jared episode. Yeah. We've done literally every single one that's in our vault that hasn't gotten messed up or anything, or wasn't too, you know, needed parental advisory or whatever.
Yeah.
We've released. So, I mean, we're, we're doing good, and no, it's good to stock up. I had a really good guest this morning. Mm-hmm. Who talked all about, like, if you're not going to college, mm-hmm. you know, a whole bunch of, you know, what he's learned and all that stuff. Other than that, work, same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
I think I told you I started doing, like, a little business selling things for people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very good this summer. You know, it's done a lot. And it's cool meeting new people, helping mm-hmm. them out, you know, give my real estate card to them. All about, like you talked about, connections, networking.
You got to do it.
Yeah. And I think that the more and more people you meet, like you did when you were away,
mm-hmm.
that could lead into a whole nother.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's like kind of one of the big things I took away is like whatever field you want to go into, just find the people that are already doing that.
Like, yeah.
With skate, it's an easy comparison to skateboarding for me. Like every time I stopped across the country at a skate park, I felt I like met someone and it clicks. Like you're like, all right, there's a community here.
Yeah.
So if you can settle in somewhere and find a community of people who are flipping houses, or you can find a community of skaters, that's the way to do it. Because then you're only going to further yourself.
Yeah.
And if you can't find it, try to make one.
Yeah. No, I agree. We've got a cool guy that wants to come on too that I talked to. I actually got on the Zoom with him last week. But he kind of does the similar thing to, I don't know if you remember when we had Luke Duffley on, he had invited me to go with him to this.
Yes.
So we went to it and this guy that talked, I ended up DMing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be able to come on, hopefully.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, so he runs a bunch of vacation rentals, Airbnbs.
So for the people who don't remember, you went to a rental Airbnb?
Like talk, yeah. Luke Duffley had invited me, and I was like, sure, I'll go
listen
to it.
So people who own properties talked at this thing, and you could come and
talk. It was mostly this guy ran the whole thing.
So, wow.
Yeah, so I got on a Zoom with him, and he was super interested in coming on and talking about it.
That's sick.
Yeah, I think now it's just, you know, now that you're back, we just, you know, we get things cleaned up a little bit. We kind of try to take it to another level mm-hmm. now.
I 100% agree.
You know, we know that we can do it. So it's all about, you know, and there's been some people, I don't know if you saw our emails, but there's been some people that have reached out that like want to help out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're scam things or whatever, but, you know, certain things, you know, we'll just have to see it out. But
read it out as it comes. Yeah.
I think it's the next thing is just take this thing up a level.
I think so.
Yeah. So what are your plans now that you're back?
It's definitely finish up school.
Yeah.
Get the bag back for sure.
Yeah.
And just kind of finish out strong. I think school is the main priority.
Yeah.
Because it's almost done. One more year.
Yeah. One more year and you're out.
Phew, done. But, you know, focusing on the 5-year plan, the bigger plan of where I want to be at in 5 years, what I want to accomplish, and just keep chipping away at the old block.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. I think it's the, you just got to take everything one day at a time.
100%.
And it doesn't matter. Like we talked about this morning on this other podcast, it doesn't matter if you don't know what you want to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I want to do right now.
No.
But you just have to, every day comes a new day and you just figure out as you go.
Make the most of what you're given.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Hey, did you watch the video of that plane flying into Hampton Beach?
No, but I heard about it. Dude, that's fucking crazy.
I talked about it on
really?
Our solo pod that we did. Yeah.
So that was recently, right, that that happened?
I think maybe a month ago.
Jesus Christ.
Someone just literally, they're filming it. Yeah, the plane just comes in, just boom, yeah. lands, just flips over. The guy was fine, I guess, but.
That's wild.
Yeah, crazy.
Coming back to Manchester, you got to love it. All this shit happening in New Hampshire.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But no, I think this was a good episode. We don't have to make it that long.
No, just a quick catch up. You know,
yeah.
episodes have been doing great. Hats off to everyone listening. Tommy and Eddie have been crushing it while I've been away.
Been trying.
I've been just slacking.
No, you haven't. You've been experiencing some new experiences, and we've been holding down the fort.
I appreciate it, boys, and I'm more than excited to see what's coming, and I'm glad yeah. I got this time to catch up with you a little bit, dude.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Sweet. Yeah. Hey, this has been Professionally Questionable with Tommy and... Oh, wait. With Luke and
Tommy.
All right, have a good night.